Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Met fans want to stick around because we're going to go Met-centric with our next guest, Anthony DiComo from MLB.com. Good enough to hop aboard. Anthony, Jody Mac here. How you doing, bud?
Hey, Jody. I'm doing well. How are you?
Thank you very much for coming on tonight. Let me start here. I had a caller last night here on the fan say to me, man, when the Mets blew that five-run lead on Sunday, I can see them just carrying that over into the second half, and he was seriously doom and gloom. And I said, well, if you think the Mets are dead in the water because they blew a five-run lead in their last game on Sunday, you must think the Yankees have no prayer whatsoever, because at least the Mets took nine innings to blow a five-run lead. The Yankees took two outs to blow a five-run lead. Any issues with the fact that they lost the last game in a less-than-stellar fashion?
Well, it's never ideal to lose a game that way, and obviously it raises some concerns that have mostly been quieted about Edwin Diaz as the closer. But look, the optics of it are not good. You don't want to stew on a game like that for a week coming out of the All-Star break. But you mentioned the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees have so many problems, and among them are the fact that they have teams like the Red Sox and the Rays in their division. And the Mets, quite frankly, don't. Right. The Mets have a Braves team that's a disaster right now in their division. Nationals, who have been very inconsistent. The Phillies, who I don't think anyone is betting on to make a run and win that division. So they can afford to make a few mistakes along the way. They can afford games that are, frankly, pretty ugly, like that one last Sunday, and still survive and still come out on top. I think if you look at it objectively with all the teams that are in the division, whose position would you rather be in right now? The Mets are in first place. They've been in first place for over 2 months. And they have the better outlook of all those teams going forward. So I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying there are not things that can be improved. Certainly there are and should, and we'll see the Mets do that before the deadline. But as you stand right now, there are certainly worse places to be than where the Mets are.
Since you went there, I'll follow up. Diaz is the closer. Better than he's been before for the Mets. Still imperfect, and there are better closers around the National League. That's why he didn't make the All-Star team. Not suggesting he deserved it, but at least he could have been a consideration. I didn't think he was a guy who should be on, but certainly better than he has been in previous years. What's the confidence level with Diaz? If something does go awry, where are the Mets going for closer if it's not Diaz?
Yeah, look, I think there's already a lot of people that see this situation and say, well, make Seth Lugo the closer. Seth Lugo is the best reliever in the bullpen. And I agree with half of that. Seth Lugo is the best reliever in the bullpen, and that's why I don't want him to be the closer if I'm a Mets fan. I don't want Seth Lugo to be the closer because he's just too valuable in that role where you can move him around. You can have him face the best hitters in an opposing lineup, no matter what inning that is. You can have him pitch multiple innings, two innings, four or five, six outs, whatever it is. You don't necessarily have that type of flexibility with him if you say this guy's the closer because Edwin Diaz can't hack it. So I think if you're building kind of the ideal Mets team and you're building the team with the personnel that they have and deploying it in the most efficient way, you're going to be best if Edwin Diaz is in the ninth and Seth Lugo is moving around. And, can the Mets bring in another reliever before the bullpen or before the deadline? Excuse me. Yes, they can. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they do. But I don't see them going out and finding a closer to bring in here to supplant Edwin Diaz, to push him back to the eighth inning. It would cost so much in terms of prospect capital. They only have a certain amount to give. And more than that, what closer are you going out and getting that frankly has a better reputation and a better track record this season than Edwin Diaz? There aren't many out there, and there certainly aren't many that are available. So I think it's kind of a situation where you kind of have to roll with Edwin Diaz. You have to go with him as closer, understanding that there will be more of these games along the way, but also understanding that on the whole, on the balance, he's going to come through for you more often than not.
All right, I think you've already answered my next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because maybe you'll do a left turn on me. Lugo is, you're right, probably day in and day out their best relief pitcher. For me, he's one of their, not named Jacob DeGrom, one of their best pitchers, period. They're banking on Carrasco coming back and being able to start, and he got a nice little rehab in, so he's trending in the right direction. They're still hopeful that Syndergaard is going to be back. I'm a little bit more tentative about that than most at this stage. They could use help in the rotation, too, and we've seen Lugo do that before. No chance that you would think about stretching him out in case Carrasco has another fallback, if Syndergaard doesn't look like he's coming back. Are you considering the Lugo to the rotation move at all this year?
No, I'm really not. I think that ship has sailed. And frankly, I'm a little surprised that people are still knocking down that door because, you know, he wasn't great when the Mets tried it last season. They tried it out of necessity. And he is beyond great. He's spectacular as a reliever, by and large. So, you know, I'm not sure why people still want that. That being said, I do think the Mets need rotation help. I do think it's going to come from outside the organization. I do think it could even perhaps be a relatively big move. You know, talking about the trade deadline in general, there's three areas where I think you could potentially upgrade, and that's third base, starting rotation, and bullpen. And third base is the sexy one because everyone wants them to go out and get Chris Bryant. I really have trouble seeing that happening. I don't think it's the best use of resources to improve this team. But starting pitching, they could make a splash, and they could acquire someone, and there are lots of guys out there. They could acquire someone for the stretch run. They could acquire someone that could even be in their rotation in 2022 and beyond. They could give up significant prospect capital to make something like that happen. So if there's an area where this Mets team is really going to start moving and shaking in the next couple of weeks before the deadline, I do think the rotation is it. I agree with you. It needs a little bit of help, a little bit of depth, but I just don't think Seth Lugo is the way to achieve that.
Fair enough. Go to third base. I know the rumors have been floating and flying around that Josh Donaldson certainly can be had from Minnesota. I'm a Donaldson guy. I happen to be a fan. I think an underrated aspect of getting a guy like Donaldson is he's a hell of a third baseman, and you would greatly improve your defense over there, and the Mets' defense is only okay. Pretty big contract and a bit of a prickly personality, but a guy who has been in the postseason before and delivered before. How real are those talks, do you think? Could Josh Donaldson be their big move leading up to the trade deadline?
No, I don't think they're very real at all. I'm sorry to burst your bubble.
That's okay,
Jody, but yeah, you know, if the Mets were to make a big unexpected splash at third base, I think it would be more of the Chris Bryant type than the Josh Donaldson type. Now, that being said, I don't think the Mets are going to get either of those guys. I do think those character concerns with Josh Donaldson are real. But more than that, looking at third base in general, kind of what I just mentioned in terms of the Mets making a big splash, they don't have the prospect capital to go out and get a former MVP third baseman in Chris Bryant and then also a really good rotation upgrade, someone who could actually really help you. The Mets have about 6 or 7 prospects in the entire organization that other teams want. And of those, really only 2 or 3 are having good enough seasons that you could say these guys have legitimate trade value. So you're probably going to have to give up everything in the farm that's of value just to get a guy on a rental like Chris Bryant. And if you do that, you leave yourself kind of shortchanged in the rotation. So I just don't see it happening. Again, I do think the Mets are willing to part with some of these guys. I don't think they want to part. I know they don't want to part with all of them because they want to build something sustainable here. They want to improve this farm system. That being said, they also want to win this year. And I think they see the best path of doing that is to have their offense, which on paper remains pretty good, keep that intact, hope they start hitting, reason to believe they start hitting, and then really make that move in the rotation in the starting pitching arena and give yourself some depth, because Lord knows they need it with some of the injuries that they've had.
All right, two things. Number one, their offense looks good on paper. In reality, their offense is poor. It's one of the least productive offenses in all of Major League Baseball, yet they're still 3.5 games up. You mentioned Bryant as a rental. You're right. Anybody who's only got X amount of months left on his contract starts as a rental. But if you have the belief you're going to be able to sign him, then he doesn't end up as a rental. Why do you look at him as him signing with the Mets is a too much of a long shot to at least count in the possibility of you get this guy here? He's happy about it. You give him a competitive offer with any of the others when he gets to free agency that he won't pick the Mets. Why are you specifically describing him as a probable rental?
Because I don't think there's an appetite for the Mets organization to give any third baseman, a nine-figure deal, which is what it would take to keep Chris Bryant around long-term if you did trade for a guy like that. This is a team that is going to have to add starting pitching this winter no matter what. Marcus Stroman's a free agent. Noah Syndergaard's a free agent. Even if, say, a Syndergaard comes back on a qualifying offer, that's a $20 million deal right there. So you're going to have to add starting pitching. You're going to have to add an outfielder. Whether that's Michael Conforto or someone else, you're probably going to have to spend that nine-figure deal on an outfielder. So you can go, and I understand that people say, well, Steve Cohen's worth $14 billion. He can do all these things. But the reality is the Mets would rather not just blow past the luxury tax without even beginning to get into the offseason. So the idea that could Chris Bryant sign here long-term? Yeah, it's possible. Is it the contract the Mets want to give out? No, I don't really see it. And it strikes me as the type of deal that if the Mets did it, they would be doing it for August and September and theoretically October. They wouldn't be doing it saying, oh, well, if we trade for Chris Bryant and we trade our three best prospects to get him, we're going to have him long term. I don't think that's quite the way they see it. Contrary to when they traded for Francisco Lindor this past offseason, and they very much saw it as, if we get this guy, there's a very good chance we can lock him up.
Taijuan Walker rightfully made the All-Stars. I thought he could have made it just on his own accomplishment. He ends up because DeGrom doesn't go, and DeGrom makes the argument for him to be his replacement. He gets there, and he's had that good a season that he deserves it. What's his future with the Mets?
Well, he's got another year left after this one, and you just, if you're in the Mets, that's a very comforting thing because, as I mentioned, you go into next season, the Mets are in maybe a better place rotation-wise than they were a year ago, but there are still plenty of question marks. You've got Jacob deGrom, who has been great. Of course, he'll be 34. You always have a little bit of concern with that once the guy gets up into his mid-30s. You have Taijuan Walker, who's got another year left. He's pretty much in his prime, and you hope he'll be good. And you've got Carlos Carrasco, who's under team control, who we haven't seen this year. So a little bit of a question mark there going forward. And then beyond that, you get into the David Petersons and Tyler McGill and some of these younger pitchers who, maybe are long-term good rotation pieces for you, but you don't really know yet. So the point is, there are some question marks there, as I mentioned. Maybe they solve some of that at the trade deadline. Maybe they don't. But if you didn't have Taijuan Walker here in the rotation going into 2022, you would be in a lot more uncomfortable place. So it was just a great deal for the Mets all around. 2 years, $20 million. When they were initially looking to spend $100 million-plus on Trevor Bauer. Just a fantastic deal for the Mets in getting Taijuan Walker. And Walker seems happy here as well, so kind of a win-win.
Yeah, well, time to roll out that old axiom of some of the best trades are the trades you don't make, or free agent signings are the ones you don't make. And we'll see where Trevor Bauer's future goes, but it's pretty damn shaky right about now. All right, this is kind of out of left field, I guess, and you're going to clarify something for me. I know forever that when it came to draft picks, Major League Baseball, you can't trade draft picks. And when you pick a player, he's got to be with your organization for a year before you even trade him. That was the rule. Is that still the rule? Not that I'm trying to trade the Mets first round draft pick this year. But Kumar Rocker was a guy who should have gone higher than he did. They got to get him signed first, which may be a little bit of work. But he has got a major upside. If that's what it takes to get the guy, if they've got the guy, if they think Brian is the guy, if somebody is the guy, would they even consider something like that if another team is in love with Kumar Rocker?
Yeah, I highly doubt it. They were so elated to get Kumar Rocker at number 10 overall. It seemed like such a, not even a coup, just like a lucky strike for them. Never did they think he would have fallen that far. So, again, I don't rule these things out completely. You never know. But one of the reasons why Kumar Rocker was such a great pick for the Mets was because you go down and you look at your farm system, and I mentioned there's not a ton there at the upper levels. Well, there's basically no pitching. Their top pitching prospect, Matt Allen, just underwent Tommy John surgery. Their second pitching prospect, JT Ginn, is just coming back from Tommy John surgery. Thomas Zapucki, who's their third best pitcher on the farm, he just underwent surgery on his elbow. So there's really very little pitching coming through the system, and maybe they found a little something with Tyler McGill. But the point is, Kumar Rocker really fills a need as a starting pitcher who has a high ceiling, who could potentially come quickly and be in this rotation within the next year or two if all goes well. I find it hard to believe they would get rid of him again for someone who, like a Chris Bryant, for example, who might not be around for very long.
Fair enough. I just wanted to get your reaction on Rocker. Were you watching the draft that night when they picked him?
I was, yeah.
It's always great because the crew that was doing it for MLB talked about him going at number 9, and it all looked like he was going to go at number 9, and then he didn't go at number 9, and they questioned the fact that, so why he didn't go at number 9. Did the Mets get the pick in there, like, in record time? Because I watched first round, and it was 5 minutes, 8 minutes. It took that time. Mets got that card in rather quickly after he wasn't selected at number 9. So, yes, I'm sure he was the top guy on their board at the time and made him a Met rather quickly.
Yeah, and I was sitting there wondering if there was any scenario in which they wouldn't take him at number 10 once he fell. But that was pretty quickly answered, as you said.
All right, Luis Rojas, chance to win Manager of the Year in the National League this year. What'd you put it at?
I think it's pretty high, given what he's weathered, and I think that's what voters look for, is, you know, personally, I'm not a huge fan of the Manager of the Year award because I think it tends to go to the guy whose team those of us in the media just tended to undervalue at the beginning of the season. So, you know, maybe we thought you know, the Brewers, for example, whoever it might be, the Red Sox in the American League weren't going to be very good, and they wind up being good, and that just kind of is the default. But I think when you can point to specific things that a manager has been able to do, and in the Mets case, that is weather a lot of these injuries, and we're talking not just your normal amount, but injuries to almost every single significant player on the team in the first half, 17 guys in the IL at one point, and yet throughout all of the Mets did manage to stay in first place. You know, it does speak to a job well done by Luis Rojas. None of this is in a vacuum. It speaks to the front office as well that they were able to build a good bench, good depth to weather it. But Luis Rojas did, you know, pick the right pieces and make it work. So credit to him.
Agreed. And I think your description of how the award usually goes is dead on. It's the team that overachieves the most over preseason expectations. And that's why I think Gabe Kapler is the guy who's leading the clubhouse right now, because none of us had the Giants being as good as they have been
right so
far. But I do think Rojas deserves serious consideration. Anthony, thanks for your consideration coming on tonight and giving us all the insight. We'll do it again soon enough.
Anytime, Jody. Happy to come on.
Anthony DiComo from MLB.com covers the Mets, Mets, day in and day out.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.